Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
You know, the issue of insurance companies wrongfully denying coverage has kind of been in the news ever since the horrible murder of the United Healthcare executive. People angry about these types of issues and people talking about it. And I want to talk a little bit about insurance coverage and what you can all do if you have the situation where something is being denied that you think should be covered. And with us to discuss this issue are two very aggressive advocates for their customers and clients. And one is Joe Feldman. He is the founder and president of Cover My Mental Health, a nonprofit here in Chicago that supports patients and their families overcome insurance obstacles for people who need treatment for medical mental health care. And we have Mark Dubofsky. He's the founding member of Dubofsky Law. He devotes his entire practice to making sure insurance coverage happens for health care, disability, life insurance, and long-term care. He has been on many boards. He served a governor task force to study mental health issues and disability insurance. And he was also appointed to serve on an advisory board for the U.S. Department of Labor. Mark, thank you for joining us. Joe, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Karen.
Good to see you. Let's start, Joe, with your Cover My Mental Health, your not-for-profit. I know you have a very interesting story about how it started. Can you quickly tell our listeners how what the genesis of this organization?
Sure. Well, it won't surprise anyone that it started when one of our kiddos needed some care beyond what we were pursuing locally, and we found a residential program out of state that was appropriate. And not long after that program started, our insurance company sent us a letter that said the care was not medically necessary. So we knew they were wrong, and ultimately we won a federal lawsuit against that insurance company, and then they paid what they should have paid in the first place. But that taught me that that's a very, very challenging and difficult way to enforce your rights under health insurance. There are many other ways.
Well, and at a time when you need it the most and you can afford it the least and your loved one is suffering, you know, it just seems just like a horrific situation. Mark, let's talk a little bit about this. You know, in other areas of the law, you make a contract with somebody and you have to, you know, make good on your promises. Let's say an insurance company decides something's not medically necessary and you know it is or you think it is, what are some of the steps you should take to make sure that you have the coverage that you need?
Sure. So it's actually a very complex question.
It is.
And requires a bit of a complex answer. So first start with whether the insurance is individual insurance that somebody's purchased either through a broker or through the Illinois Exchange, or whether the insurance is received from an employer. If the insurance is received from their employer, it's governed by a very important federal law that very few people have heard anything about called the ERISA law. ERISA is an acronym for the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And in 1974, Congress passed this law, and the sweep of the law was so broad that it incorporated employer-sponsored health insurance, disability, and life insurance, as well as retirement benefits. Under ERISA, if you've been denied a benefit that you think you're entitled to, you have a right to appeal the denial to the insurance company. Added into the mix is the Affordable Care Act. So if you appeal to the insurance company and your appeal is denied, you have the right to seek an independent external review through the Illinois Department of Insurance. Now, if you have an individual policy, you also have that right to independent review so long as you have an ACA-governed policy. Unfortunately, not everybody has an ACA-governed policy. There are policies that are for sale in Illinois that are not truly health insurance. Some of them are considered short-term coverage, where you're covered for only up to a year. Some of them are association-sponsored policies, and some of them are even what are called ministry policies that are purportedly sponsored by religiously affiliated organizations. But the truth of the matter is that those are not insurance policies.
Okay, and, so let's before we get farther into the weeds, I want to just let's talk very basic now. I understand that there's a difference whether it's an employment situation because a certain type of law applies and has different sets of rights. But, you know, I guess, Joe, I know this is something that your organization helps people with, and you have some stuff on your website that's very helpful. Let's just say, let's just talk generally, okay? Just generally, again, whistles and bells. There are going to be whistles and bells in all of these situations. Very complicated. What medically necessary? How is that determined? And what happens when your decision, your doctor said this is medically necessary, but your insurance company says it's not?
Right. So a clinician is probably not going to say this is medically necessary on their own. What they're going to say is that this care meets the standards of practice. And that's going to be based on their training and their practice and their observation of how an individual patient's comes to them and the observations they've made. Insurance companies use the legal term medically necessary to define what they're obligated to pay. So the idea of some resources on our website is to make sure there's no air between the definition that a clinician is going to have, standard of care, and what an insurance company is going to have, which is medically necessary. Clinicians decide what the care should be based on their training, not based on a legal standard.
So this is definitions, you know, and it's complicated. So let's just say that you want to fight this. Then you've been denied coverage that your doctor says that is necessary for you or your child. What is the first step you take?
So I'll give you an example from a testimonial that appears on our website, where an adolescent who had ADHD was using an oral medication, which is a standard of care for ADHD, and it wasn't working. They were running into all sorts of side effects, some sensory issues, and their psychiatrist went to take a different path. They wanted to use a transdermal patch, which would be the standard of care for someone with ADHD who is not tolerating an oral medication. The insurance company said no. And so the clinician used the template on our website to document what was standard of care for this individual patient and asserted in their letter that the care was medically necessary. So by putting those two concepts together, they take the air out from between the clinical definition, standard of care, and the legal definition, medically necessary. And the patient's insurer approved the care with a transdermal patch. So that's a very pragmatic way of how our resources can be used successfully.
Let's take a break, and I want to talk to Mark, the attorney here, about what happens if the success story does not turn out to be a success story and you have to take it a step further. But first, I want to reiterate who we're talking to, because I know people have questions about this. Mark Dubofsky, he is with Dubofsky Law, where he devotes his practice to insurance coverage on these kinds of issues. And we're also talking to Joe Feldman, who's the founder and president of Cover My Mental Health. Mark, how can people reach you?
They can come to our website, www.dubofsky.com, D-E-B-O-F, as in Frank, S as in Sam, K-Y, or they can call our number, 312-561-4040.
And Joe, how can people look you up and find Cover My Mental Health?
So our website is covermymentalhealth.org, and I can be reached directly at joe@covermymentalhealth.com.
I am here with Joe Feldman, who is the founder and president of Cover My Mental Health, and Mark Dubofsky, who is a coverage lawyer. What he does is he helps clients get the coverage that they need when it comes to disability, life insurance, long-term care. Mark, let's just keep this very, very simple, because I know this is a complicated issue, but Joe went into a little bit about the medically necessary issue, and he told us about a success story. So what happens if you try hard and you go through Joe's website and you go through the template and you do not get the coverage you need and you want to pursue it? What's the next step generally?
Well, the next step generally is to take the case to court. But building on what Joe just talked about, what is critical to success in court is having a record that is fully supportive of the patient. So what Joe was referring to as far as building your record for medical necessity is critical, because without a well-established record, you are not going to succeed in court. And with that record, you still face an uphill battle, but you even the playing field somewhat if you have all your ducks lined up before you start with a legal action against the insurance company.
And those steps might be what? Getting more than one expert to weigh in on whether or not this is something that is medically necessary?
It could be. I mean, what we found to be very important leading to our success in court is not only an opinion from a practitioner, but also that opinion comports with medical literature, such as peer-reviewed published journal articles, a medical wiki that's very well respected called UpToDate, which is published by a leading medical publisher, or other criteria that would fully support the patient in establishing their entitlement to the benefits.
And Joe, can you tell us a little bit about your website and how listeners can go on and how this website can help you? Because it's a really user-friendly website in a complicated area. I mean, Mark handles the legal complications. You are trying to get people to handle things correctly so that when Mark has to take over, if that is something that needs to happen, they're in the best situation possible.
Right. So the first thing that we focused on when we launched covermymentalhealth.org 2 years ago was providing encouragement. So we wanted the website to be encouraging, that someone could come there, they would see a button that described their issue, they could press the button, and they could get to work. So right on the homepage, you can find a button, for example, denied, not medically necessary. And that will provide the template letter that I discussed, information about medical necessity letters and how important they can be in pursuing your claim. There's another button that says no suitable clinician in your network. So we know that sometimes the network directories that insurance companies provide don't actually list clinicians who are competent in the area you need and available with an appointment soon or somewhere near you. There's also a how to use this site button that describes some very basic tips for how to interact with an insurance company customer service rep so that you can confidently and with just common sense pursue what you paid for, which is coverage for your needs.
So you don't scream at them. Is that basically the advice?
You know, we are.
I'm just kidding about that because it can be very frustrating to deal with insurance companies.
You know, I've had a number of advocacy folks and clinicians tell me that, you know, we need to go to battle and we need to fight and we need to sort of get agitated. And I really believe that we will be more successful if we just proceed in a very common sense based way. And that's what our website is intended to do, is to provide those common sense tools.
And that website is covermymentalhealth.org. And Mark Dubofsky, let's talk a little bit about, there was a new law that I believe went into effect in January. I think it's called the Health Care Protection Act. Can you talk a little bit just generally about what this is supposed to do and if you believe this is going to maybe help people get coverage in the future?
Sure. I mean, the law is definitely going to be helpful because it's one of those laws that evens the playing field a little bit and gives the insureds a better opportunity to collect their benefits. But I should caution that many people who have their health insurance through their employers are in self-funded health care plans, which means that state laws that regulate insurance are not going to apply to them. So if the plan is written in a way that would exclude coverage through state law, then and it's a self-funded plan, then the plan language is going to control. State laws will only be applicable if it's a fully insured plan or if it's an individual plan. So people need to be aware of that. And a lot of times the protection that they think they're getting from state law is not going to help them if they're in a self-funded plan sponsored by their employer.
Let's go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I think about with both federal laws and state laws related to mental health care access is that they have the benefit of changing expectations. And so I completely agree with Mark that it can be very challenging to know whether an individual plan is governed by a state law, a federal law, or who's going to be there to enforce it. But changing expectations is, I think, a big deal. And if a state law in Illinois says the expectation is that there's not going to be mischief around prior authorizations being used to deny care, or that a network directory is just completely out of date, that expectation is going to permeate across all plans. And that, I think, is a good thing to encourage people to get the care that they paid for.
Absolutely. Since COVID, we've seen a lot of telehealth appointments. Do either of you, and I'll start with Joe, do you have any advice about this? Do people want the telehealth? Do they have a right to demand in person if they want it? How do you counsel people and how to deal with that issue?
Right. So the laws around telehealth access have changed and continue to change. The way I think about telehealth is that it's a great way for many types of care to be provided. By the way, it reduces or effectively eliminates a distance issue. So for individuals who are located far from a city or far from specialists for particular kinds of care, telehealth can be an extremely effective way for insurance companies to provide access to clinicians and for individuals to access clinicians. So I think the idea of demanding in-person care all the time, that may be a bit disadvantage for someone who lives remotely and needs specialty care. But someone who, because they, for example, have an adolescent who doesn't want to miss school, telehealth can just be a very effective way to access care that really should be available to them through their health insurance policy.
Mark, we have just a few minutes here, and I know that there are people that, you know, when there's something new that goes on, and I say new, like COVID was a fairly new thing, and long-haul COVID is a new thing, and I know we had a listener call, and I referred that person to you, and you're dealing with the issue of getting coverage on a disability basis for long-haul COVID. Do you think there is still some stigma when it comes to things that maybe doctors do not fully understand right now about how devastating and debilitating certain conditions can be, mental health included?
I wouldn't necessarily call it stigma. I would call it something that insurance companies can use opportunistically to deny claims, because in the absence of specific objective tests it would verify the presence of a condition or would verify the severity of symptoms such as fatigue, dizziness, pain. It becomes an opportunity where an insurance company can say that they just don't believe it. And it often comes down to the credibility of the claimant and how a court is going to assess that claimant's credibility in a situation where very, very few of these cases actually go to trial. So the court is going to be assessing credibility just based on reading medical records, which can be very problematic for claimants.
I mean, I don't know how you prove pain or the absence of it. And that's a very, very, very difficult thing to do. Let's give out our contact information. We ran out of time, and you're going to always come back here and talk to my listeners. Let's start with Joe. Joe Feldman, founder and president of Cover My Mental Health, a non-for-profit here in the Chicago area. If you feel so inclined, they are run by donations, and you do great work for people. Give out the contact information.
Sure. All of our resources, which are free, can be found at www.covermymentalhealth.org. And I'm happy to receive questions or comments at joe@covermymentalhealth.com.
And he answers all of his emails. He really does. And thank you so much for joining us. And keep up the good work. I really, really admire you for doing this kind of work. And Mark, can you tell our listeners how to get in touch with you?
Our website is www.debofsky.com. D-E-B-O-F is in Frank. S is in Sam. K-Y. Or they can reach us by telephone at 312 561-4040.